Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from truly all three readings chosen for today. I'd just like to point you back in the direction of the gospel, first of all. From John 3, starting at verse 14, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at the 8th verse, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." These are the words of the Lord. I've always been fascinated by stories of human survival. This past Wednesday at the 11:30 service, I shared the story of a man named Mark Inglis, who endured 13 days in freezing temperatures in a mountain cave. He survived. And though he lost his legs to frostbite, years later, he ended up climbing Mount Everest on prosthetic legs. Another survival account I've never forgotten is the true story of an 11-year-old girl who saved her mother and infant sister after their SUV plunged into an icy river. She was able to escape out the window and leap over an electric fence before leading rescuers back to the accident site, only to discover that more than one vehicle had hit black ice and taken the same plunge into the river. This 11-year-old's persistence saved her family and others from certain death. Here's another survival story. A large group of people were wandering in the desert, and their camp was overrun by poisonous snakes. Now, their method of survival was unconventional, to say the least. Those who were bitten and filled with venom looked at a bronze statue of a snake on a pole, and they survived. God had told them to do that. By doing what God had said, they were saved from a horrible death. Sometimes we Christians, and especially we Christian preachers, can lapse into lazy language. Here's a perfect example. A Christian preacher might stand up here and say something like, "Jesus saved you," and think, "Well, I've come what I did what I came here to do today. Message sent." But there's an obvious question here, isn't there? Jesus saved me from what? Unless we're careful about the from what, Jesus saves could mean just about anything. But those survival stories give us clues. Mark Inglis was saved from freezing to death by a search and rescue team. The people in those cars in that river were saved from hypothermia and drowning. The children of Israel in the desert were saved from death by venom poisoning. They were saved from a death that was punishment for unfaithfulness. Now we're getting somewhere. This snake story tells us that God can create a situation where people are saved from the deadly consequences of their wrongdoing. And what is absolutely fascinating is that Jesus used that bronze snake incident to make a direct comparison to himself. He made that comparison explicit in John's Gospel, where he says, you heard it this morning, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What's Jesus saying here? First, he's very clear in pointing out that there are two potential final outcomes for people. One is eternal life. The other is perishing. Perishing is the outcome that Jesus wants to save us from. And so he is also very clear in saying how he is going to create the outcome of eternal life for you and me. He tells us the snake on the pole foreshadowed a man on a pole, or a cross, to be specific, lifted up from the earth on a wooden execution device. Jesus would become the one to look to for rescue. To look at Jesus and believe that he's going to make the difference is to be saved from death of body and soul. To lift up your eyes to see Jesus on the cross, to be sure that he's doing it for you, is to know that you have only life with him ahead of you. The sins that should have condemned you have been expunged from your record. All mention of them is gone because Jesus erased them with his blood. This is the good news that changes human hearts and lives. You are saved from hell, from the fear of death, by Jesus' death and resurrection. So, is that the final word on Christianity? Certainly, the work of saving us from death and hell is complete in Jesus. Only he could do what needed to be done, and he did it. So where does that leave us? Well, listen again to what the Apostle Paul writes in today's epistle. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Now, I have a confession to make. Once upon a time, I was at a church conference because that's one of the things pastors do. We become conference veterans. But anyway, I was sitting there listening to the presenter, and he asked the group that if you knew Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, to raise your hand. Well, I had gone to Lutheran schools all my life. I was now a Lutheran pastor, so of course I knew Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. So my hand went up. Almost all the hands in the room were up. Then he asked us to recite Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And differences in translation notwithstanding, it was almost unanimously spoken word for word. But then came the moment of truth. The presenter then asked, if anyone knew verse 10, to raise your hand. And I was so embarrassed, I wanted to climb under the table because I could not. I had not even a sense of what came next. And I glanced around the room and I noticed I was not alone. You might think it would, but that did not make me feel much better. Because here again is what we were all missing. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you hear that? We are not only saved from something, we are saved for something. We are saved for the purpose of doing good works in Jesus' name. There are acts of love and service that God has prepared for us to do. The opportunities for us to serve are just waiting for us. God has set the table. We just need to show up with a servant attitude. If you've ever wondered what you are supposed to be doing, here you go. Walk in the good that God has prepared you to do for others. A little word of advice from experience. Learn verse 10. 8 and 9 too, but learn verse 10 and live verse 10. It's what you've been saved for. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, through your word we are presented with the glory of the gospel, which tells us we cannot, by our own reason, by our own strength, produce a resume that will result in our being saved. We're not able. But Jesus was, and He did, and we are. We are saved from the deadly consequences of our sins. We're saved from ever having to pay off that insurmountable debt. We're saved from isolation. from God and all that is good. And now we are saved for serving others. And we're free to serve others because it's not getting us something. It's just who we are now in Christ. And it's what you desire for us. You've prepared beforehand things you want us to do that will communicate your good news to more and more people. Let us know today that we have been saved from an awful outcome, and we've been saved for a life with you that never ends. All thanks to Jesus, your Son, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.